Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. And if you're brand new, welcome. It is 4:29 p.m. Eastern Time on the 19th of October, 2020. Where did our beautiful summer go? It's gone. And it's October. It's gray. It's very wet here. I'm sure there are some places that could use it to be very wet. I know we've had the giant fires in Colorado and the West Coast, which Billy talked about emphatically in Contact Report 215. And I'm going to have to bite the bullet and get back to covering that. It's a very disturbing thing to actually see happening, as is many other things that are very disturbing that are going on, particularly in the United States, politically, as the country seems hell-bent on tearing itself apart, and the corruption just is overwhelming, and it continues to manifest itself. And I have a clip here that is going to talk about this. But we will definitely get into the Meyer material today, feelings and anxiety and doubt. And I'm going to talk a little about 1984 too, the George Orwell movie. But don't worry, we're going to definitely get into some of the Meyer teachings from the book Mach der Gedanken, The Might of Thoughts. But now for our clip.
This is truly amazing in this, that you and I were looking at the same video on the same day, just from different sources. My wife was listening to it and watching the English translation. The Chinese that was being spoken by the host there, who's a whistleblower from mainland China, the Chinese was way worse than what the English translation was saying. And that's when I texted you. I said, Alex, you got to see this, because the words that they were really using to describe what's on these so-called sex tape videos are way worse. The words were nietong siping, which means abusive. Abuse of children, it implies rape and violence. It implies assault. This is the kind of term that you don't use just to describe pedophilia or pornography. These are violent assaults. And then if you look at what Rudy Giuliani has said about this, where he says, he can't even describe what he has seen that's on here. And then you look at these other media outlets that say, we can't even release this probably without violating, you know, laws against child pornography, but maybe laws against, you know, some snuff tapes or something in that category.
Just to let you know, what they're discussing is the Hunter Biden information that was found on his PC. You may not have heard this. This is kind of breaking, but Rudy Giuliani has been able to obtain the actual PC, and it has Hunter Biden's PC. It has all kinds of pedophilia on it, and the horrible torture of children. Rudolph Giuliani also has photographs and emails that were taken off of this laptop. I guess all of this came from the laptop. And there's one very interesting picture where Hunter Biden was laying in bed, and it was covered up in covers, and there was a crack pipe in his mouth, and he was passed out. It really looked very sad. The guy has some huge, huge problems, as does the United States. So let's continue.
It's sick, twisted stuff, but it's coming out, Alex. It's all coming out over the next few days. Steve Bannon is behind the rollout now. Rudy Giuliani is on top of this. Good people who love America are rolling this out. And I'm here to say, Alex, Joe Biden is finished, because the censorship cannot, they don't have total control. They've tried everything. And I'll tell you what I think they're going to do next. But they failed, because you're still on the air. I'm still on the air. Independent media is exploding. Alternative platforms are exploding. Joe Biden is finished. I'm not even sure he will go to this next debate, but he's finished, and he's going to be lucky to stay out of prison when this is all said and done. It's going to take time under the second Trump administration, you know, second term. But
let me just comment. I'm going to say something. I like to hear what this guy's saying. This is Mike Adams, the guy that has naturalnews.com. He also does a pandemic.news website. He's a I think he's a pretty good guy, very knowledgeable. But I don't think that they're going to be able to make this stick on Biden any more than they made any of the things stick on Hillary Clinton. It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong about a lot of stuff, let me tell you.
Hunter Biden and Joe Biden will be lucky to stay out of prison. That's where I think.
Well, listen,
right
I supported Steve Bannon early on. I liked him throughout. I know he got the fights with Trump. I know he's been working with Chinese dissidents. But we've confirmed, as they're saying, these photos are real of the Chinese dissident that exposed this over 3 weeks ago and said he's seen, you know, the raping and the torturing. There he is with Giuliani. There he is with the Chinese virologist that exposes what was happening at Wuhan. So it looks like Rudolph Giuliani's been a very, very busy bee.
This is just the beginning of what's going to happen to the Democrat Party. Alex, I've been told from other sources, you know, over the past few months, I've been doing so many interviews, and I've been talking to new people that I never talked to before and building up a lot of new contacts over the time. And what I'm being told is that this is the beginning of the end of the Democrat Party, because it's going to unravel the pedophilia pattern that you have been accurately talking about.
Now, I'd like to see the beginning of the end of the Democratic Party, but I'm very skeptical. I hope Mike is correct, but I don't know if it's going to really play out like that.
It is true that to get into the high power levels of the Democrat Party, you have to submit to being videotaped abusing underage children. Because they don't even trust you in a position of power, whether it's a governor or sometimes mayors or sometimes, you know, top of the party. You're not even allowed to have that power, maybe even the CEO of a tech company.
And it's
company,
a satanic communion. They want to cut you off from God. I get it at a temporal, political level. They want you to show that you're compromising with them. But it really is spiritual. They want you to cut yourself off from God.
And I think, you know, until the Epstein story broke, most Americans couldn't have believed what we are talking about right now. But the fact that the Epstein story broke, that opened people up to the reality that we're now facing. It's horrifying, it's sickening, but it is real, and it is an undercurrent behind the Democrat Party, the top Democrat fundraisers or funders, and the top corporations and political positions that represent Democrats. The Democrat Party is a party of violent rape of children, of child abuse, child trafficking, sex dungeons of children. This is what the top Democrats not only stand for, but this describes their daily activities. This is what they do. And I, you know, it's not a coincidence that when this came out, Joe Biden retreated to his basement, because that, you know, that's where he feels at home, probably.
Well, that's my next question. It's just like when Trump won and Roger Stone was here on election night. They're like, why are you so upset? And I'm like, they're going to counterstrike. Well, I feel like we're winning right now. I don't feel as bad as I did then. I'm glad Trump won, but I knew they were going to attack. But they're going to strike back, Mike.
They're going to strike back in huge ways, Alex. What I'm being told now is there are going to be attacks on our infrastructure like we've never seen.
I wanted to comment on that quickly. I do believe that the United States is under attack. I believe the bioweapon, the COVID-19, was the first stage of the attack, but there's been an ongoing stage of the attack, which is the conditioning of the American people. It's a kind of a demoralization that's gone on for a long, long time. They're trying to make us feel helpless. It's the Chinese communists and the globalists, particularly George Soros, that are pulling the strings here. And when we start to talk about the 1984 section, we'll get into that a little bit.
Cyber attacks. Not necessarily EMP, but cyber attacks.
Oh, it's already happening. We're being hit at 50 times any previous level.
Yeah, and wait till they take down the power grid. And by the way, I interviewed J.R. Nyquist not too long ago, who talked about China pre-positioning military assets in the United States. And I've been told from another source that those include 60-millimeter mortars and RPGs, not just the AK-47.
Well, you told me that 6 months ago, and actually came out, they busted a bunch of people with those. But let's stop there. They run the blue cities. They run the blue states. They run the media. They own the debt. They own Hollywood. They have a Democratic Party, part of the Republicans. People ask, why would they make a run in America? Because there's globalists commanding them. And I'm not defending communist China, but, I mean, they're really a client state doing this as a command base for the globalists, in my research.
Yes, and then they have puppets like Governor Nuisance in California, who has turned the Capitol building, I've been told, from two sources, one firsthand on site, who has seen this firsthand, that the underground parking structures underneath the east wing of the Capitol building in California is filled with firearms, ammunition, like hundreds of millions of rounds, and gold. And that California is planning a secession. They're planning to arm Black Lives Matter and Antifa through the power of the government.
This could be the beginning of the Civil War. The one of, excuse me, two civil wars that Billy's talked about in Contact Report 215. I think it's very possible that we would see California secede from the Union. I think this election is going to be the worst thing we've ever seen happen in the country in our lifetime.
Right there, you got to come back with this because you texted me and you called me about 4 months ago, and you said they've got gold, they've got weapons, I've got the text messages, I'm talking to FBI, I'm talking a lot. I'm like, oh, I believe that. I've seen some of that in the news here and there. Going back to the 90s, they caught the Chinese shipping the containers of fully auto AK-47s and mortars. But then Podesta had a war game a month later that was in the New York Times about secession starting with California and a resistance, and then even so yeah, that's, wow, that's amazing, Mike. You were the first person to tell me about that.
Okay, I want to continue this just a little bit longer, and then we'll move on to a little bit of the George Orwell stuff.
GCNhemp.com.
Dang, that's what Schiff's saying. But, Mike, it was the FBI that got this from a Delaware map shop. Anybody that's ever taken their computer in, you sign a contract that if you don't pay or pick it up, they own your computer. And the guy calls up Biden, and no one will call him. He gets scared. He gives it to the FBI. They do nothing. He gives it to Giuliani, but now Rudolph Giuliani's a Russian agent. Mike Adams of naturalnews.com, this was pretty predictable, wasn't it?
Well, absolutely. The FBI is a criminal enterprise, and it has been conspiring against the interests of the United States for a very long time under the Obama administration and under the command and control of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama during the Trump administration. The FBI, under James Comey, was, of course, plotting against President Trump, abusing the FISA warrant process. And now under Christopher Wray, the FBI has been covering up the child abuse, pedophilia, sex crimes of the son of the Democrat presidential candidate. There's no question. The FBI ran the kidnapping plot against Governor Whitmer in Michigan. The FBI, you know, we reported on this.
Oh, I forgot that broke. Yeah, you said that. I said that weeks ago. Update, suspects say ringleader in plot to kidnap Governor Whitmer was an FBI informant and Antifa.
Okay, maybe that's a good place to stop. The corruption, I guess, is just so overwhelming, it's not fun. 1984, a novel, published as 1984, is a dystopian novel by English novelist George Orwell. It was published on the 8th of June, 1949, by Secker and Warburg as Orwell's ninth and final book completed in his lifetime. Thematically, 1984 centers on the consequences of totalitarianism, mass surveillance, and repressive regimentation of persons and behaviors within society. Now, this is amazing because Orwell himself was a democratic socialist. So, and he modeled this whole book after what was going on in the Stalinist Russia. So this story takes place in an imagined 1984. Now, I want you to listen to what has happened in the world. The world has perpetual war, an omnipresent government, surveillance, historical negationism, which is reinterpreting history, and propaganda. So, and listen to some of these things that are talked about here. This is, these are terms which have special meaning, and I think this whole thing with this 1984 is about what's happening in the United States and the world, for that matter. A big brother doublethink, thought crime, news speak, memory hole, 2 + 2 = 5, paroleless, 2 minutes, hey, telescreen, room 101. So what has happened in this novel is that all independent thinking is suppressed by this government in 1984, and kind of where we're heading. Now, if you remember in Billy's teaching that independent thinking is necessary for evolution, and, you know, I'm very independent in my thinking in many ways, and sometimes even to the point where it kind of clashes with some of the stuff that Billy has said, but I think it's so important to continue to follow your own independent train of thought. I don't mind finding out somewhere down the line that I was incorrect about something or whatnot, but I have to be honest about what I see here and think. And it looks like to me that we're in big trouble in the United States and that we should take a look at where we're going and maybe not go there. What is doublethink? Doublethink is a process of indoctrination whereby the subject is expected to accept a clearly false statement as the truth or to simultaneously accept two mutually contradictory beliefs as correct, often in a contravention to one's own memories or sense of reality. So, and this is, to me, sometimes I think what we're being forced to do. Like, there's a section in the book there, maybe we'll get to it, where this guy is being tortured, and what they're trying to do is to get him to accept that 2 + 2 = 5. And he says, no, 2 + 2 = 4. And then they torture him some more and torture him. Finally, I think they break him down eventually. So, and that's like Billy has talked about. We are in a condition. We're in a tyranny where our consciousness is being conditioned. And I don't know whether Billy meant it at the same level as 1984 or not. He probably, at least in Kelk der Wahrheit and the Gobble of Truth, it sounds like he's more talking about religions and sectarian. But it's the same thing happens in religion. Same exact thing. What is a thought crime? In the dystopian novel 1984 by George Orwell, the word thought crime describes a person's politically unorthodox thoughts, such as unspoken beliefs and doubts that contradict the tenets of INGSOC, the dominant theology of Oceania. That's Oceania is the fictitious city, I guess, or the fictitious country, or whatever you want to call it, in this novel. So anyway, if you look at the mainstream media, you're getting 1984 George Orwell in huge doses. So anyway, a lot more we could say about that. You know, the Meyer information talks about these creational natural laws, one of which is love. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. And love will forever be the purpose of our existence. Love and wisdom go together in the creation, and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. Now, this kind of love that we're speaking of is a neutral kind of love. It's a neutral, positive kind of love. It isn't romantic at all. It radiates from creation. Creation has its own intelligence, and it's a neutral kind of intelligence. And it is called a Wesenheit in the German, in the Meyer teaching. And then what that means is it has no personality. The universal consciousness has no personality. It has a super intellect, and it is dedicated to these creational natural laws to the point where it almost has a limited free will, we could say. Now, human beings, and I'm a perfect example of that, we veer off of our predetermined schedules. We don't strive as much as we should a lot, which is the second creational natural law. I call it the number two. I don't really know that there's a particular order. But one of the easiest things to do in terms of engaging your daily life with the Meyer material is to emphasize striving. And striving is said to be what creates your sense of life. And that's your work is your striving. And it doesn't necessarily mean just your day job, but it also has to do with how you organize your life and, you know, cleaning your garage and taking care of your pets and, you know, taking care of your own body. And all of these different things involve striving. You know, if you have a radio show, that would be striving. If you play a musical instrument, that's striving. Eating correctly, everything is the greatest power in every entity is dedicated to the striving. And down to the tiniest building block, we are to be dedicated to the striving. And now there's another law called the creational natural law called the law of harmony, which is that we should maintain a neutral, positive calm in our psyche, because the spirit form is always neutral, positive. The spirit form is a tailstock, a fragment of the universal consciousness. And it comes into the body of the child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, and it brings in the material consciousness, which includes your psyche. And it's your material consciousness which is mostly engaged during the day. The spirit form, which is extremely ancient, in a typical human being, it would be 4 to 5 million years old. Now, I say extremely ancient, but that's like you're still in your baby shoes, as Billy calls it, when your spirit form is 4 to 5 million years old. The Meyer spirit form is supposed to be 9.6 billion years old plus, older than the Earth. So think of it that way. So after this law of harmony, which means you're confident, you're optimistic, you're relaxed, you're cheerful, it means you don't have a bunch of rotating negative thoughts. It means that you don't have a bunch of very destructive feelings flowing through your psyche. But instead, you're neutral, positive, you're in harmony, you're productive, you feel productive, you feel confident, you feel hopeful, you're an optimistic perspective, even though you're still called neutral, you're still all those good things, so keep that in mind. The other thing is creational natural law of system and order, and that's trying to keep your life organized into a schedule and trying to keep the first priority. And the first priority is your schedule, which, because that's your structure for your striving. And that's really the key to happiness and productivity and your sense of satisfaction and your sense of life. Now, what monitors how you're doing in this whole thing are your own feelings. And you have to get more adept at paying attention to your own feelings. I have to get more adept at that. And so when you start to feel negative things, when you start to feel insecure, or you feel anxiety and doubt coming in, pay attention to that. Because anxiety and doubt must be rigorously excluded. They are evil elements of degeneration, and they will bend every straight line of evolution that you have. So anxiety and doubt, nothing good comes from anxiety and doubt. And sometimes you don't know about your anxiety and doubt. If you're dealing with some things in life right now that have a lot of unknowns, and you're having to make some decisions, and you're like, okay, should I have bought that? Should I, now how am I going to do this? And how am I to interpret these things that just happened? So your feelings grow out of your thoughts, and they're life-sustaining. And the feelings enable quick processing of internal and external stimuli. And what I always like about feelings is that they simplify things. So you may get a memory, you may have a feeling that occurs because of a memory or something, but this feeling is a simplification of the circumstances. You may have had maybe a very complicated situation to get into all the details and everything that happened and didn't happen, but the way your material consciousness summarizes all of that complexity and all that activity is with a feeling. And that makes life easier and more bearable. Feelings are, they allow the thoughts to discharge their energy. Do you ever feel like your thoughts, gosh, they almost have too much energy and you're, You feel like you're struggling to get your balance because your thoughts are so intense. But if you kind of calm yourself and let your feelings discharge some of that energy so your thoughts don't get too hot. And if the feelings are operating in a healthy manner, they will deliver power to your psyche. They manifest slowly, and feelings can be of a long-lasting duration. Emotions are usually short and they're usually dangerous. They do bad things. The emotions typically are not good. The feelings are good. If it were not for the feelings, the thoughts would eventually become confused. Goblet of Truth, chapter 28, line 163. You, however, remain connected with your thoughts and feelings in fine fluidalness, in a swinging wave-based wise. Thus everything sent out attracts through the interaction. Things of the same kind, and they come back to you. So the fine fluidal energies are these energies that rotate, that I should say, they come off of us. They come off of our hands, our bodies. The fine fluidal energies that we have go into our books, into our chairs, into our tables, throughout our library, into the room, outside, into the trees. The fluidal energies are very, very important. And that's how powerful your thoughts are. Your fluidal energies can outlast your life. Your thoughts will most likely... Well, I'll just use some hard examples like the writings of Bach, his music. People can hear Bach. They hear Bach music 2 centuries later, and a person that is familiar with music knows right away that's Bach. So, and those thoughts still exist today. And those feelings still exist today. And those thoughts and feelings have affected the whole world to a certain degree. So, page 104 of the Mind of Thoughts, feelings are very important and they are extremely useful. That's one of the beautiful things about music, is it releases these feelings. Consequently, those feelings must not be fought and eliminated. I think a lot of guys stifle their feelings, and that's what's so helpful about the music. The music all kinds of music, you know, intense music, mellow music, releases these feelings, which I think that must not be fought and eliminated. We tend to fight against our feelings. If you want to fight against something, try to fight against your emotions. It's a little harder because they come up with such intensity before you realize that they're gone. So it must never be forgotten or disregarded that feelings have an existential and thereby life-sustaining significance. Have you ever listened to some beautiful music and had some really warm, helpful, healthy feelings, and you realize, oh man, this is life-sustaining. This is so good for me. I need to do this more. For which the reason they are useful, the life-sustaining feelings are useful and must not simply be stifled and abolished. So cultivate your thoughts. Nurture those thoughts which are bringing out these feelings. Sometimes you just have to put yourself in the same set of circumstances because the thoughts are hard to identify. We have so many of them, and sometimes they come so quickly. But the feelings will simplify all of that. And the feelings, they're life-sustaining. And you should practice putting yourself into situations. Maybe you need to lay back and meditate a little bit. Maybe you need to walk in the woods. Maybe you need to work at something, strive for something. But these are all important. The feelings have a life-sustaining significance. Anyway, I can't believe our time is up. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.